Lesson 38. Beside me, there is no Savior. Old Testament Gospel Doctrine Teacher's Manual. Isaiah, chapters 40 through 49. Purpose: to help class members understand that Jesus Christ is incomparable in his devotion to his people and that he has a great work for them to do. Preparation. 1. Prayerfully study the passages from Isaiah chapters 40 through 49 that are discussed in this lesson. 2. If you use the attention activity, write the following quotations on a poster or on the chalkboard before class. A. What think ye of Christ? Matthew chapter 22, verse 42. B. What manner of men ought ye to be? 3 Nephi chapter 27, verse 27. C. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Whom say ye that I am? Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and 15. D. Who is on the Lord's side? Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. E. Have ye received his image in your countenances? Alma chapter 5, verse 14. 3. If Family Home Evening Video Supplement 2, item number 53277, is available, you may want to show the 5-minute segment, What Think Ye of Christ, as part of the lesson. Suggested lesson development. Attention activity. You may want to use the following activity, or one of your own, to begin the lesson. Refer class members to the quotations you have written on a poster or on the chalkboard. See preparation above. Then ask the following questions. What do these quotations have in common? All of them are questions from the Scriptures that help us evaluate our testimony of the Savior and our commitment to be His disciples. Why do you think there are so many questions like these in the Scriptures? Explain that part of this lesson focuses on scriptural questions that emphasize the greatness of the Savior. Scripture discussion and application. As you teach the following scripture passages, discuss how they apply to daily life. Encourage class members to share personal experiences that relate to the scriptural principles. 1. Isaiah teaches that the Savior is incomparable. Through Isaiah, the Lord repeatedly asked a certain question in different ways. What question is asked in each of the following verses? A. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18. To whom then will ye liken God? B. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 8. Is there a God beside me? C. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 5. To whom will ye liken me, and make me equal, and compare me? What is similar about the preceding questions? They all teach that the Savior is greater than any person or thing we could compare him to. How would you answer these questions? How are they answered in the book of Isaiah? See the verses listed below, noting that in each case the Lord was speaking to idolatrous people who manufactured their own false gods of silver and gold. A. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11. Beside me there is no Savior. B. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. Beside me there is no God. C. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5. There is no God beside me. See also verses 6, 14, 18, 21, and 22. D. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. I am God, and there is none like me. Why do you think these questions and answers are repeated so many times in the book of Isaiah? How are these questions and answers relevant to our day? 2. Isaiah describes the Savior's incomparable qualities. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that we need a correct idea of God's character, perfections, and attributes in order to have faith in Him. Lectures on Faith, page 38. Isaiah gives many beautiful descriptions of the Savior's character and attributes. Have class members read some of the passages listed below and discuss the following questions. Which attribute of the Savior is mentioned in the passage? How does knowing of this attribute help increase our faith in the Savior? You may want to list these attributes on the chalkboard. A. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 and 14. No one counsels or instructs him. B. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. He is never weary, he strengthens us. C. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, verses 21 and 22, and verse 26. Chapter 45, verses 12 and 18. He planned and created the universe and knows every part of it. D. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 17 and 18. He hears us when we are in trouble and blesses us abundantly. E. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 and 4. He will not fail or be discouraged till his purposes are fulfilled. F. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16. He lights and straightens the way for his people who are lost. G. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 4. He will help his people through their trials. H. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 25 and 26. Chapter 44, verses 21 through 23. He blots out our sins and remembers them no more. I. Isaiah chapter 44, verses 2 through 4. He pours out his Spirit on our families like water on dry ground. J. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. He carries his people from birth to old age. K. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 through 16. He will never forget us. We are graven in the palms of his hands. Invite class members to tell of experiences that have strengthened their testimonies of any of these attributes of the Savior. 3. The world, Babylon, competes with the Savior for our devotion. To whom is Isaiah chapter 47 directed? See the chapter heading to Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 1. Babylon was a powerful city of the ancient world that was destroyed for its wickedness. In the Scriptures, Babylon is often also used as a symbol for the wickedness of the world. In Isaiah chapter 47, Isaiah warned that Babylon would be destroyed because of its wickedness. These warnings can also be applied to the eventual destruction of the world and its wickedness. What do the following passages teach about the results of seeking after the wicked ways of the world? A. Isaiah chapter 47, verses 1 and 5. The world will be brought down to the dust and become silent and dark. B. Isaiah chapter 47, verses 7 through 9. Despite the world's thoughts that it is invincible, it will be destroyed and lose the things of greatest value, symbolized by the loss of husband and children. C. Isaiah chapter 47, verses 10 and 11. Because the world declares that it is greater than God, desolation will come upon it. In Isaiah chapter 47, verses 8 and 10, What claim does Babylon, the world, make that is the same as the Savior's declaration about himself? I am, and none else is beside me. What can the world offer in comparison to what the Savior offers? Why do so many people give their devotion to the world instead of to the Savior? How can we help others see what the Savior offers? In Isaiah chapter 48, verses 17 and 18, the Lord promised great blessings to those who seek Him rather than the world. How do these promises make you feel about following the Savior with all your heart? 4. Isaiah describes the mission of Latter-day Israel. Isaiah chapter 49 contains many prophecies about the mission of Latter-day Israel. These prophecies can help us understand the important work the Lord has for each of us to do. Have class members read some of the passages listed below and discuss the following question. What does this passage teach about our responsibilities in these latter days? Note that many of the prophecies apply both to the work of the Savior and to the work of His servants, the house of Israel. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 3. A. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 and 5. The Lord hath called me from the womb. We were called from birth to fulfill the Lord's work in the last days. See also Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. B. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 2. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. This image suggests speaking powerful words of truth, the words of the Lord. See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 6, verse 2. C. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 2. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. The Lord has protected us and prepared us for our great responsibilities. See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 86, verse 9. D. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 2. He hath made me a polished shaft. Arrows with polished shafts will fly straight and true. We have been polished and prepared by the Lord to fly straight and true wherever He sends us. E. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. Thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. The Lord has asked His servants to raise up and restore the remnant of Israel and to be a light to the Gentiles. In this way, we can help bring salvation to the ends of the earth. See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 86, verses 8 through 11. Conclusion. Testify that Isaiah's writings can help us develop greater love for the Savior and greater understanding of the work He wants us to do. You may want to invite class members or a small group to sing How Great Thou Art, hymns number 86, or How Firm a Foundation, hymns number 85. Additional teaching ideas. The following material supplements the suggested lesson outline. You may want to use one or more of these ideas as part of the lesson. 1. Symbols used by Isaiah. Isaiah repeatedly used blindness as a symbol of wickedness and spiritual ignorance. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 10 and verse 18. Chapter 32, verse 3. Chapter 42, verses 6 and 7, and verses 16 and 18. Chapter 43, verse 8, and chapter 44, verse 9. As you ponder these verses, remember that the Savior often proclaimed that He was the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. How can we more fully open our spiritual eyes to the light of the world? Isaiah repeatedly used images of water. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, chapter 32, verse 2, chapter 41, verses 17 and 18, chapter 43, verses 19 and 20, chapter 44, verses 3 and 4, chapter 48, verse 18 and verse 21, chapter 49, verse 10. How does the Savior's teaching that He is the source of living water help you understand these passages? See John chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. 2. Waiting upon the Lord. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. In what ways does the Lord renew the strength of those who wait upon Him? See Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Invite class members to share experiences about the Lord renewing a person's spiritual or physical strength. 3. But thou hast not called upon me. Why do some of us occasionally feel that the Lord has forsaken us? If we feel that the Lord has withdrawn from us, what is the likely cause? See Isaiah chapter 43, verses 22 through 26, and Messiah chapter 5, verse 13. What can we do to feel close to Him again? President Spencer W. Kimball said, I find that when I get casual in my relationships with divinity, and when it seems that no divine ear is listening and no divine voice is speaking, that I am far, far away. If I immerse myself in the Scriptures, the distance narrows and the spirituality returns. The Teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, page 135. End of Lesson 38. Beside me, there is no Savior. From Old Testament Gospel Doctrine Teacher's Manual.